She could have been short with me because I was taking more time than I should. She could have been irritated, but she chose kindness. And I remember walking out of that room and my daughter was hovering in the waiting room. She was like, "Mom, I needed to be in there with you." And I said, "No, she had me." And I'm telling you guys, we got to have each other.
Yeah.
We do, especially in those vulnerable moments.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your favorite place together.
Hey, fourth chair friends, we're so glad you're with us today, and we are very excited that Susie is back with us too. So if you have been following along, we shared in an episode called Susie Has Cancer that she was going to have a double mastectomy, and she is through that process and in the healing phase and now able to drive and be out and about and is right here in the studio with us.
I feel like a big girl. I put on my own pants this morning, my own socks. I drove. Yeah, I'm so thankful to be back. I really am. I definitely am still in the healing stage, and I had a lung infection that hit on top of the recovery, so that knocked me backwards a little bit. So I've missed the last three episodes, but I have got to listen to them, and wow, I loved that Christy and Jen and Michelle stepped into that third chair and did such a fantastic job.
Yes, well, we love them, but we are also super glad to have you back in your usual spot.
Yeah.
And we have had the gift of processing with you along the way about what you've been thinking about and learning, and it has been a gift to us. So we wanted to spend some time on this episode letting our fourth chair friends in on that journey too.
Sure.
So tell us a little bit about what you've learned in this season.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to say to that woman who is going through a season that she didn't want to, please sit in that fourth chair, come close. I have a cupcake for you that we can share together.
And literal cupcakes for us, but we're not sharing.
We're not sharing.
Sorry.
And we have cookies and donuts. This is a sweet, sweet day. You know, I'm learning a lot. I'm learning that to be vulnerable for me is not easy. And I'm learning that kindness means more than you can imagine. It's not just been my adventure with cancer and double mastectomy, but for some of you, I shared this on the Susie Has Cancer, which is such a title. Just
so clever.
So hilarious to me. I also shared that my husband, who is a runner and eats healthy, lives healthy, had a massive heart attack 3 days after I found out I had cancer. So my whole world got turned upside down. And what I have learned in the last 12 weeks is that the kindness of God's people reveals the goodness of God's character.
Mm.
And I'll share a couple of incidences that just really stand out. I got sick after I did really well through the surgery. I came out. I was recovering well. And then I got a lung infection that came from the intubation that happened during surgery. And it hit hard. And so I got super, super sick. They were worried that it was pneumonia. This was at a time where I was still wearing my man jammies. You know? That's all I can describe them. Because you have to wear the button-up pajamas. So I'm wearing the thick plaid pajamas. And I can get out of the recliner every 2 hours for 5 minutes. So I'm really, and my arms don't work. And I have to have people do everything for me. And we were trying to figure out how to get me to get an x-ray. So it was at a time where my husband had just went back to work. So he was trying to get to me. My daughter was with me. Her kids needed to be picked up at school at that time. So my daughter took me and she dropped me off and said, "I'm going to be right back, Mom. Dad's on the way." And I felt so vulnerable because, first of all, I was just sick as a dog. Couldn't move my arms. I had my man jammies on underneath a coat. I couldn't take my coat off. And I went to have this x-ray taken. And when I walked into the room, the lady called to me from the other room. She said, "Okay, I'll be with you in a minute. Just take off, you know, your clothes, put on this gown." And it hit me. I couldn't do any of that. And I started crying. Mm-hmm. And it was like, crud, I can't do anything. And so I called out to her and I said, "I just had a double mastectomy 2 weeks ago and I can't take off my own coat or my shirt or." And she was like, "Oh, honey, I got you." Oh. And she come running in there and started peeling everything off. And I know this is a long story, but this was really a pivotal moment. All of a sudden, I realized that the only other person who has seen me since the double mastectomy is my husband. So here's another vulnerable moment. And it's like, oh my gosh. And, you know, I'm bandaged. I have all the stitches. And she's pulling my clothes off. She's looking at me straight in the eye. And she just starts talking about sweet, random things. And I know what she's doing. She's protecting my dignity. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, she took the x-rays. She helped me dress. And I started crying again because I thought this could have gone such a different way. This could have been, number one, it's the end of a long day for her. She's seen 100 people. I'm just one more. She could have been short with me because I was taking more time than I should. She could have been irritated, but she chose kindness. And I remember walking out of that room and my daughter was hovering in the waiting room. She was like, "Mom, I needed to be in there with you." And I said, "No, she had me." And I'm telling you guys, we got to have each other.
Yeah.
We do, especially in those vulnerable moments to see that sister. And even if it's the end of a long day and it's one more thing to do, the fact that this woman, who I don't even know her name, I need to send her like cupcakes, but like she took one of the most vulnerable, weak feeling moments and she just chose kindness.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah. I think that's so beautiful. And yeah. I think that's such a metaphor for sisterhood.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I think we all find ourselves in both those roles at one point or another.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're the ones in the position of vulnerability. And then it's about the courage to ask for help and to let people bear witness to our scars. And then sometimes we're the one where we're in the middle of a busy day and a sister is saying, "You know what? I've done as much as I can right now and I need you to come alongside me."
Yeah.
And so I love that. And I've watched you be in both roles.
Yeah.
You know, I've watched you be vulnerable, but I also know you are someone who is so often that one saying to your sister, "I got you."
Mm. Yeah. Well, so. Those words, "I got you." That's what hung with me. It's just, "Oh no, honey, don't worry. I got you." And she said that at least 3 times during that.
Yeah.
She would say,
makes me cry.
Look me straight in the eye and be like, "I got you. I got you."
Yeah.
You have me. You do have me. And so another kind moment, and there's so many to choose from, is I had been housebound and I have realized now that I very much have a Mary heart, but a Martha brain. And so being still, I can be still, but being still and doing nothing is really hard for me. And so we were days in at this point, like 3-4 weeks. I hadn't been out of the home. I want to burn my recliner. Like I really do. Like after all this is over, I just want to take it out and burn it because I was so sick of the recliner. And I heard a knock on the door. It was a Saturday. And Richard answered the door, and there were 2 people standing there from my church. And they said, "We feel kind of awkward doing this, but my friend, Amanda, she said, 'I don't even know Susie very well, but I was praying for her. And the Lord just told me that we needed to come worship with her.'" And they have guitars, they have a stand, they have music. And Amanda had said later, she said, "You know, even as I was knocking on the door, I was thinking, this is dumb. What am I doing? I have a guitar. I don't even know her that well, you know." And she was really resisting what she felt like God had told her. But they came in and they sat on my floor and they started singing these worship songs. And again, and I'm going to cry because it just was such a beautiful moment. I needed that so bad and didn't know how badly I needed it until that moment that they're over there playing and we're worshiping. And I have my head back laid on my recliner with these blankets wrapped around me. And I am weeping. Mm. I'm just weeping because I was so isolated and felt so alone. And people were everywhere. And this is not alone from people. I felt alone from God. Mm-hmm. And I hope that's okay to admit.
Yes,
that.
Absolutely.
Is that the Lord that I loved, you know, just, man, it had been such a hard season. And all of a sudden I felt him and I felt his spirit. And I thought to myself, thank God, while she was standing on that doorstep and she's knocking and thinking, this is dumb. Why would I do this? I don't even know her. Thank goodness she overrode that.
Yeah.
And did what she felt like the Lord was telling her. So again, number one, I got you. The second, if the Lord tells you something, he knows that person on the other side of that.
Yeah.
Do it.
It makes me think of that story in the Gospels where the friends, you know, lower the man to the feet of Jesus. I wonder if they're up there on the roof being like, this is dumb.
This is dumb.
What are we doing?
Like, I'm cutting the roof.
You know, what if I drop him? What if they were saying, we got you?
Yeah. Like both.
Two things like stand out is the power of showing up, even if you think it's small. That woman, what she did wasn't brain surgery, but the gift of kindness and saying, I got you, and the reassurance. And then the other thing that stands out to me is that we need to know that it's okay that when we don't feel God during those moments where we're hurting and in pain, because a lot of people feel guilty. They're like, God, I don't see you. I don't feel you in this. Yeah. But to know that that's a normal thing, that when we're in pain, that we sometimes just, you know, just there's this block, you know, that like that you wonder if he's there. You know, you just miss that feeling him close to you.
Yeah. And, you know, it's weird when you're hit in so many different directions. Like we were hit physically. It was both of us. Both of us were down. You know, usually one of you is up. We got hit financially.
Right.
Really, really hard. We got hit spiritually.
Yeah.
Emotionally. And so I consider myself a strong person. And I'm not beating myself up for that moment. Mm-hmm. I'm being very honest about it and saying that I knew deep down, I knew who I was. There was joy in that. But the reality was, is I was having to hang on to the deep roots.
Yeah.
Because the tree up above,
it
was looking like it had been knocked over by a tornado.
Yeah.
And I think something I learned, you showed me a lot through this process, is that passage in Hebrews where it talks about Jesus went through the cross for the joy set before him.
Yeah.
Like, I know you had those moments. And so did he in the Garden of Gethsemane. Like, he wept and was, you know, drops of blood, like in agony.
Yeah.
And yet he moved forward. And I've seen you so much look to the joy set before you.
Yeah.
You know, I think when we're in something really hard, it's so easy to look down at the moment we're in. And we need to do that so that we can grieve and be angry and process with people we love. But I also saw you always lift your head again and look to the horizon. Because every time we've been with you, you're like, I've got this new dream. And what if we do this? And what if we do that? And a lot of that is for you, fourth chair friends. So we're so excited to share more about all the things Susie has come up with. All of us have come with in this season. Yeah. But I think in a new way, I know what it looks like to focus on the joy set before me. And I'm grateful for that.
Well, and one of the things that you guys did when you came over is you gave me grace, because I immediately was like, oh, people are here. Oh, people that like to dream. Oh, you know, and it was like you were like lighting up neurons in my brain that had been pretty dormant at that time. So that was also healing.
Yeah.
Well, I think as a friend, it's the most helpless thing in the world watching your friend go through, because it was one hit after another. And I can remember sitting with Holly and Susie after, you know, Richard had gone through his difficulty. And I mean, that was huge, massive
open
deal.
Heart surgery.
I mean, like that was a massive deal. And I can remember going, what is going on? Like, it just was mind blowing that there was one more thing, you know, one more hurdle.
Yeah.
And so I know that we both felt helpless, but just showing up was.
Yeah. Makes a difference.
It makes a difference.
It does. Well, the third thing, and this is kind of the final thing that I learned, is, be still means let go, you know, when it says be still. And so one of the things that I did have to let go of is, and we're going to go deeper into this in our next episode. I'm really excited about this, but we have this mindset that we always have to be doing something. Like, even like people are saying, oh, this is going to be your next book. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, or wow, Susie, are you having epiphanies from the Lord? Or maybe this is a time that you can, you know, write that novel, or this is a time that you can do this. Honestly, this was a time when I needed to be still, let go, and recover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Period.
That's your biggest period. Job.
Yeah. I didn't have to have an epiphany from God. I didn't have to read productive books that were going to fill up that downtime. My body was trying to recover from a massive surgery, and that was the work that was needed. Mm-hmm. And so giving myself permission to say, right now, my whole job is getting better.
Yeah.
My whole job, and nothing magnificent has to come out of this other than just being still, letting go, and recovering.
Yeah. Yeah. And that you were able to relax into that. I know at one point you even said, I feel like maybe I need to pray more, you know, but to me, that was evidence of your intimacy with Jesus.
Yeah.
Because when I'm with people I'm truly close to, that's when I can do nothing.
Yeah.
You know, like that is proof of intimacy.
Yeah.
So if someone out there is in a season where they're like, I feel like I should pray more, I feel like I should do this, you know, no, like if you can, like Sue said, let go, that is not spiritual failure. That is proof of spiritual intimacy.
Yeah. It is.
Like, I love that with my husband, we can sit there and do nothing and it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, but I can't do that with everyone. Like, I can't do that with an acquaintance. Nope. I feel the need to fill all the space.
Yeah. And healing is hard work. And that's the thing, is if you're in a place where you're recovering from a relationship that has hurt your heart, or if you're in a place where you're recovering from whatever and you feel the need to do, let your heart be healed.
Mm-hmm.
Let your body receive the healing that it needs. And if that means that for a season you let go and you let God do what he needs to do in your heart or your body, you know, the body's amazing to me. Yeah. Like, I've got to watch how your body heals. I have a muscle graft and I have a skin graft and I have fat grafting, which is hilarious to me. They're moving fat around on my body to different places. And but that has to heal.
Right.
It has to.
I wanted to ask you what has been helpful to you, but I have seen that kind of tug of war with just wanting to rush healing. I think that we are so bad at resting and being still and knowing that that's our greatest responsibility in that moment.
Yeah.
So what do you think will help others just know that it's okay to like take your full extended time to recover, like guilt-free?
Yeah. You know, I wish I knew the answer to that, Jennifer. It's a struggle for me. It was a daily battle for me to wake up and say, today is going to be another day of stillness.
Wow.
That's hard.
Right.
And yet it was the best choice, even though my brain and my heart wanted to fight against that.
Right.
And so sometimes it's just the understanding that short term, this feels cruddy or hard, but long term, this is what's best for me.
Right.
You know, because I could have pushed it and then you pay for it down the road.
It really it was best for us too.
Yeah.
You know, like I know there are times when you wanted to be here and you made the choice to rest.
I did.
And that was hard for you. And of course we missed you, but you also made the best choice for us, for the people in your life. Cause if you push through, you might not be here today.
And I wouldn't.
I mean, not literally, but like in that chair, in the chair.
Yes. Yeah.
I was
not be overly dramatic here.
I was super, super sick at that point. And you know, the night before I was saying, I want to be there.
Totally.
I really want to be there.
Yeah.
And the next morning I woke up and I thought this would absolutely be the worst decision ever.
Right.
And it's wrong. Besides that, I sounded like, I don't know, I sounded like Earl, the truck driver who had smoked 10 packs. And so it wouldn't have been good
Sorry,
for you
Earl.
Either. Sorry, Earl.
And thank you for modeling that for
us.
Like that's such a gift. Next time I don't feel well and I feel guilty about saying this is what my body needs now, I will think about what you did and it will give me permission and freedom that I didn't have before.
Yep.
So.
And I so enjoyed, like, I really did. I loved listening to the episodes where somebody else sat in, and I got to enjoy More Than Small Talk as a listener.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
So just on a practical perspective, I know we've covered a lot of things that are helpful and that people can do, but is there anything else that would just kind of like this practical thing that you're like, huh, I never thought of doing that for someone before?
Man, or I'm making notes. You know? I am making notes. It has been some of the simplest things. I have a friend named Lynn, and Lynn Voxered me almost every day for the first 3 weeks and prayed for me.
Oh, just like prayed on Voxer?
Prayed on Voxer every single day. So I would wake up and there would be her voice sincerely praying for me. Mm-hmm. And she said words that I couldn't find.
Yeah. And if you're not familiar with Voxer, it's an app that's kind of like a walkie-talkie, but you can record messages. But I think you could do the same thing with voice text.
You can do it with voice
anyone
text.
With a smartphone could do that.
Yeah, so that was one thing. And then I had somebody call and said, I would like to come over and vacuum your house. And the deal is that I couldn't use my arms. I was like a, you know, T-Rex. So I could, and I still can't vacuum. I can't lift more than 2 pounds even today because I'm still healing. And then Richard, who had had open heart surgery, couldn't vacuum. So, you know, the fact that somebody volunteered to vacuum, another person came and washed my hair. And even cut my bangs. And, you know, you don't want to let everybody cut your bangs.
Not me.
But this is what she does in real life. And so she was just like, hey, Suze, I see Richard's been fixing your hair. And he was doing a decent job for sure. He got the braid down really great. But she came, she cut my bangs, she washed my hair, she put in the good shampoo and the good conditioner, and then blow dried it and fixed it for me. And I felt human. Yeah. So sometimes it's the smallest things that make the biggest difference.
Yeah. And saying, what gift do I have that I could share? Even if it seems strange, like bringing my guitar over or vacuuming or doing hair. Yeah. You know, I think we can think of ways to help in such narrow terms, but it's really whatever we can do.
Yeah. So that's you guys coming over and dreamstorming with me. Dreamstorming is not even brainstorming. It was dreamstorming with me. That was healing. So just think about what is one thing that maybe I have that right now they can't do, and just offer it or just show up and do it. So,
Yeah. And I would say, you know, all of us, you let be part of our journey. I felt like you did so much giving in this season. I know you felt like you were doing a lot of receiving.
Yeah, see, I don't see that.
But absolutely. Like, you taught us things. I watched you on Facebook, encourage so many people. Yeah. I know you'll continue to, you know, speak from this place like you did today. So I know that it felt a little out of balance from your perspective, but it didn't from ours.
When I first started sharing on social media, it was because I was getting like so much behind the scenes questions. Yeah. And I just thought, okay, I'm just going to share this on Facebook. People can see it and they can join the journey with me and then have questions answered. And honestly, it felt like too much information most of the time for me. It felt out of my comfort zone. But at the same time, the response to that was like, oh, you know, I'm getting to see you walk through these hard places and you're letting me walk with you.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect that. Yeah. So that was a good.
Yeah, that's a gift.
Yeah.
So I'd say if anyone's listening to you and they're going through a recovery season and they're thinking, I'm not sure, I wish I could be giving more. I would say you're probably giving a lot more than you can see.
Yeah.
So, so thank you for letting us walk with you through.
And I'm so happy to be back.
We are too. Happy. Yay.
Wow, what's coming up next?
Oh, I'm so excited. The pressure to be productive is next week's episode. And yes, we all need to hear about this.
We do. Well, one of the resources I want to share with you today is a book that is available for pre-order. It's called Joy Keeper. And Joy Keeper was actually written in a season I called Scarred. I had no idea that there were going to be about 20 more scars that were going to come as soon as I turned this book in. But listen, the truth of this is holding me fast. And that is that joy is more than a feeling. Joy is a knowing. And I hope that you will check that book out And we'll have a link to it in our Facebook group, the More Than Small Talk Facebook group, where you can check it out as well.
Reunited and it feels so good.
You're welcome, everybody.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on klrc.com. You can also join us in our Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite app so you won't ever miss an episode.